We're going to enter into some very dangerous territory this week, Dennis, with what I want to talk to you about. Just given the nature of our relationship and what we like to get after each other for, I'm kind of giving you something on a silver platter here a little bit.
Okay.
This week I took Mum to Adelaide. It was last week, sorry. Took Mum to Adelaide to get her hand fixed. She had fingers full of arthritis, and so she went to some specialist who, I don't know, man. I don't know what he does, but he like opens the finger up, scoops the arthritis out, puts in a fake joint. So Mum's joints are now a mixture of titanium and silicon, which is pretty amazing.
Terminator, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, she's a bionic woman. But to get around Adelaide, which is a beautiful city, by the way, I can see why a lot of people move out of it in the 20s, but going back to it in my mid-30s, I'm like, oh, it's a nice city, nice and quiet, very leafy, beautiful bookshops, very nice. But we had to get around, so I needed to hire a car. So I went, and this is going to, man, we should be getting sponsorship dollars for this. We should be tapping a certain billionaire on the shoulder here to cough up, because the cheapest car, believe it or not, at the hire car place was a Tesla.
That's wild. Yeah. Also, I mean, currently that's very negative. It being the cheapest car is not good.
Yeah. But I think I know why. I think it's because people, especially in Australia, hire a car to go and on like road trips, right? Like you go and you drive along the coastline, you go out to the mountains, you go to whatever, right? You're in Australia.
How many charging points for Tesla are there at those old Outback stations?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you go to Uluru and I don't think they have a Tesla supercharger stapled to the side of it. So I think that just broadly speaking, at major airports in Australia, the Teslas just don't get picked up because people want to go along the Great Ocean Road or they want to drive out to the Blue Mountains or they want to do whatever, right? So I picked it up for a steal because I thought, oh, this will be fun, right? Like they're fun. It's a novelty. It'll be a fun car to drive.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah.
Dennis, I've never been a car guy. I've never driven for enjoyment. I've never been someone who has like slapped the bonnet of a car and said, this can fit so many horsepower in it or whatever. Driving a Tesla was, oh boy, I don't like what it's done to me.
Are you Tesla-pilled, Riley? Are you a full-blown Musk rat now? Is that where this is going?
I don't want to be is the thing because I don't want, I've seen Teslas drive around here on the coast. Not a hugely politically aware part of the world, but I've seen Teslas here with the sticker, we bought it before he knew he was a dickhead, right?
That's funny. That's very funny.
Which I think is very good. If I got a Tesla, I'd put one of them on
one of the guys in my building. I can go upstairs. is a Tesla salesman. I can hook you up. You have to ship it from Ireland. Probably makes the mates race less appealing. But,
probably,
you know.
So, right. Anyway, so I get to the rental place and I go to pick up the what I thought was going to be a key. It's not. It's a card, right? It's like a hotel room card. But then he's like, I have to come out with you to show you how the car works. And I was like, I can drive, but I guess there's a lot going on with this car that I need to open
a Tesla, big stinking iPad in the middle of it, right?
That's it. And you but like even just getting into the car, you tap the key or the key card on an area of the car that you never would have guessed. You tap it on the gap between the front door and the back door.
I always tapped on the handle.
No, yeah, that's what I thought as well. But no, you tap it on like the bit between the two windows. And then like there's no button for like the hazards. It seems that Musk was very reluctant for any sort of like you can't turn the air on or off without using the iPad. There's no dials or anything.
This is bad, right?
It's minimalist to a point that I think it's like an issue.
Well, here's the thing. You can use the vast majority of the tertiary controls in a car, the gears, the lights, the windscreen wipers, the aircon, all that stuff, without looking because they're tactile.
Yes, yes.
You can't do that if it's all on the one big touchscreen.
That's what I really didn't like, is at one point I wanted to turn off the air conditioning, and to do that I had to open a menu and then click another button on a screen.
Even if it was click a button, that'd be one thing. You had to tap a screen. That's so much worse.
Yeah, I had to tap a screen. There was no button. The car is buttonless. It doesn't have any buttons, right?
That's bad for driving.
I agree, but I got in and I was like, I'm going to be extremely cautious because this is an expensive car. It's an unfamiliar driving experience, and I'm already a very conservative driver. So I was like, I'm going to be very, very careful.
You're becoming a very conservative person overall with your love of Teslas, and you're moving to Queensland.
All right, mate. Yeah. That's not true. All the woke coastal elite liberals drive Teslas. Absolutely not. Isn't a Tesla, I think...
not anymore.
No, conservatives drive like pickups.
Yeah, but now conservatives who want to... Now it's coming full circle around. Now that's, and that's what I'm worried about. Cooking.
Yeah, but I've looked as well, which is sort of, you know, a bit of foreshadowing here. I've looked it up. The only alternatives to fully electric, like Tesla-style cars, are like Chinese, like Polestar and BYD and these other ones like that just don't... that do seem kind of like knockoffs, which I'm worried about.
Riley, we're going full Musk pill, dude. It's all coming apart.
I'm not. Anyway,
last week
car.
You're all about, I'm back on X, man. It's great. This week you're like, I'm buying a Tesla. Oh, no.
All right, listen, I get in the car. I'm going to drive very carefully, very sensibly, right? You touch the accelerator with a feather and the car leaps forward. This thing is so hungry for the asphalt, right?
There's no gears in an electric car.
No. And the torque on those things is incredible. Even when you don't want to burn off the line, you have a hard time not going. The acceleration is incredible. It's so fast. And again, I've never been a car guy. I've always thought it ridiculous when on car ads, like with a top speed of this and with an acceleration 0 to 100 in this amount of time. I'm like, I don't care. I'm never going to do that. I don't need to get from 0 to 104.4 seconds, right? I'm driving to the supermarket. But then when I went to turn on the freeway, I was like, oh, well, let's see if I can get from 0 to 104.4 seconds. And I took off and, oh, my goodness, there's something very primal about it. There's something like it's lizard brain type things about acceleration being fun and exciting and exhilarating. Like my Outlander, right? It's a 3-ton car. You know, It goes from 0 to 103 to 5 business days.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A Tesla, it's got some get up and go, dude. Anyway, so I did end up looking up how much they are and whether I could afford one. And a secondhand Tesla is a lot cheaper than you think. You can get one for $38,000.
Okay.
And that's an officially like refurbished or officially certified Tesla model from the dealer. You know, from the dealer. Not, this isn't from, you know, Shonky Sam's used cars. This is from Tesla themselves.
Riley, your new best friend has posted, I won't say tweeted anymore, lest a red dot sight appear on my forehead, nearly 4 hours ago. Some hot content you might be interested in.
Yeah, let's go. What's the Musk father telling us now?
It is the meme of Jim from The Office where he's pointing at the whiteboard, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it says, if you support the side that censors free speech and facts, you are not woke or progressive. You're a tyrant. So yeah, that's good.
Yeah, well, Dennis, look, I've been doing a lot of thinking about that. And, you know, human rights and social justice are important. But what's really important, I think, is being able to trash our environment for the sake of short-term economic goals. Like, that is really what we should be focusing on, you know. Because rich people don't have enough money is the problem in the world that we have. I'm revisiting some of the values that I had now that I've driven a Tesla, now that I'm back on X, and I'm coming to the realization that, yeah, the woke, bleeding heart, lefty, liberal nonsense that I've had is actually a mind virus, and I am a tyrant after all, Dennis. It's true. It's true.
Have you diversified your portfolio into Doge? Are you on the...
I'm fully blockchained, Dennis. I got the Goons of Balatroon coin.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, I've got a real gas fees something. I've got a Bitcoin wallet. I don't know a lot of crypto terms, dude. I'm not going to be able to persist in this fiction.
Well, you'll learn. It's okay. I'm sure there's some podcasts you could leave
to the moon.
To.
I hope I do or don't get rugged. You don't want to get rugged, right? I hope I don't get rugged.
You don't get rugged. No, you don't want to get rug pulled.
Don't want to get rugged.
You have always been a very, ooh, I don't want to buy X, Y, or Z, pardon the X pun, to not support so-and-so company.
Yes.
You've been
very
selective with your consumption.
Yes, very much so, yes.
So how do you square that with your recent Musk pilling?
I don't think I can. I don't think I can buy a Tesla. This is the problem. I don't think I can buy one because it would just completely make a mockery of me being like, yeah, I'm not a big Death of the Artist guy, right? Like I've taken my Harry Potter books off my shelf because I don't. I liked the books when I was a kid, but I don't. It's not enough for me to want to display them, right? So, I don't
think this artist is very much, in this case, still alive and profiting from buying a Tesla.
Yeah, yeah. But if I buy it secondhand, is it okay if I buy a secondhand one? Musk doesn't see any of those dollars.
Here's the thing, man. No ethical consumption under capitalism. I think there's two sides to this, right?
Yeah.
One is the sort of, ooh, is it okay for me to do X or Y? Do I have to make sacrifices? Do I have to choose about what I purchase and has? But yada, yada, yada. And the other side is the sort of the moral high horsing.
Mm.
You can have the thing you want. You just got to get a shorter horse.
But I love being smug about my purchasing habits, Dennis. I don't actually, it's all just performative. The only reason that I buy the things that I do and don't buy the things that I don't is so I can brag about it to my less liberal friends. You know what I mean?
I get that. And you'd have to give that up to have nice car go fast. I mean, I don't know
if that's acceptable to me. But this is what happened. On the day after Mum had the surgery, picked her up, took her home, looked after her, blah, blah, blah. Next day, right, I needed a haircut. And I was like, ooh, I get to drive to the barber. Like, I'd never have that. Like, I was, ooh, well, that'll be fun. Where's one that, like, I was driving for pleasure. And also to go get my haircut. But still, I didn't see the getting into the car part of that as being just like, I've got to get from A to B. I was like, ooh, yes, I get to drive the fun car.
Yeah, you're deliberately wasting resources for no reason. You're leaning in, dude. You're cooking.
I needed a haircut. Come on, mate. I had to go and get my haircut. I had a wedding to go to. It would have been insulting to Stefan Ferg if I turned up with a balding, shaggy.
Your bike was broken, was it? That makes sense.
Well, okay, staying. I was in Adelaide. I didn't have any other way to get there. I could have walked, I guess. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, this is a difficult argument for me to have with you because you don't drive, also can't drive. So I'm never winning this argument.
Correct. No.
But it yeah. As I say, never been a car guy. I like my car. I drive a 2014 Mitsubishi Outlander. Plug-in hybrid. I don't think I mentioned that before. I don't make a big deal of it usually, but yeah, usually just
you plug it in.
I do plug it in. Yeah, it's great range as well. So I very, very, very rarely buy fossil fuels in my car. So that's good. Just burn them to generate the electricity. But look, we don't have to spend too much time.
Where do they make the batteries for those?
Look, who can say? Really, probably. Probably Japan, right? Mitsubishi.
Yeah, but not where, like how environmentally friendly are the batteries in those? Even a Tesla, extremely.
You know the thing about Tesla as well. So the battery super heavy, right? Like these cars weigh 2 tons, and the battery is right down on the bottom of the car, so you sit on it essentially when you're driving it. So it handles.
So if it explodes, you've got a quick death.
Well, what would you prefer? For it, like, you want the slow death of being incinerated inside a car where the doors won't unlock because, that's what happens when a Tesla catches on fire? You want to burn to death slowly? No, get me out of there, quick. Ejector seat straight to heaven, mate.
I did read a thing about the Cybertruck, about how it has a very, very rigid frame, and they're, bragging about it, if it's in a car, the Cybertruck will be untouched, right?
Yeah, that's not good.
And people are like, cars have crumple zones for a reason, because you're going to turn into Campbell's tomato soup inside the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the crumple zone becomes your body, mate. That's what happens. Yeah,
exactly.
Because this is just sounding like an infomercial for Tesla. But I drove through the Adelaide Hills, which are full of like the windy roads that you have in hilly areas, and the car it's stuck. It's like glue. It's like stuck to the. You can take corners so quick, and it's just like, yeah, that's fine. It handles like, oh my goodness, these cars. They're so much fun to drive.
Just buy one, dude.
I don't know. I don't think I can ever come back from it. I don't think I'd like. I like to mock
what does
you
come
about
back mean? Screw because it, man. Go be older. Be more conservative. Vote right. Lean into your destiny, Bradley.
Shut up. Come on. Oh,
stop
man.
Stop fighting it, man.
Fight. Yeah, no. That's what they say, right? That's what they say. The older you get, the more conservative you got. I've done the complete opposite. I've become more and more radicalized. But then I get in one car one time, and all of a sudden now, I'm talking about these damn kids on my lawn and worried about interest rates and franking credits. And oh, boy. Anyway, more updates as they come to hand. The $38,000 Tesla that's currently available in Queensland is, it's even in the blue. It's even in the blue color that I like as well. So. I don't know where I'm getting $30,000 for. I assume I'm just going to sell my... I'm kind of assuming that someone will want to buy my car for an appreciable fraction of that amount,
Of course.
Well, I don't know if they will. My car's 10 years old. Car, yeah. Say again?
I said a more scrupulous person will buy your car. But like you said, dude, you've become more socially, you know, aware and left as time goes on. Mm. And now you're Yeltsin visiting the supermarket in the US and it's all coming apart, you know?
Yeah. The pendulum has begun to swing back in the opposite direction, Dennis.
I'm disappointed, but I can't say I'm surprised. Riley, as you grow older and more conservative with your with age, I am trying to, we swapped roles, I'm trying to desperately cling to my youth these past couple of weeks.
No, I'm pleased to hear this because so much of what I bring to the podcast is, oh, Dennis, I'm getting old and I don't like it. So I'm glad that you're on this train as well because, yeah, this is slowly but surely what the podcast is becoming about.
In the last couple of weeks, I have bought into, in two cases, genuinely monetarily, three separate TikTok trends, Riley.
Oh, wow. And you're mocking me about getting on social media. I admit, making a TikTok account at the age of 34 was not my finest hour, but, you know, I did it for professional reasons, but you're doing dances and
well, when are you going to hit the gritty about the Mets Vesuvius or whatever? When's that coming?
Hit the gritty?
Yeah. Oh, Riley, you're so out of touch. Never worry
about it. Oh, I'm so cringe, man. I know I'm so cringe. Go on.
So, yeah, okay, the three things I've bought into. One, I have purchased, Riley, and I can't make fun of your Tesla love of this, because I have purchased a Stanley Cup. Are you familiar with these?
These are the ones that... Now, these baffle me, right? Because these are the ones that you put in hot water or a hot drink and it stays hot, right?
Or it's a cold drink, it's cold. But yeah, they're just really big vacuum instead of tumblers.
How does it know?
I'm sure that's everywhere, but that is an old Yugoslavian joke.
How does it know whether it should be hot or cold?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's technology. That's why they're so expensive.
It's incredible. Is there a little goblin in there that measures the temperature and puts a little burner underneath it, or like, I don't know, puts extra ice into it? I don't know. I thought you'd be more indignant about that because that's a joke I directly stole off of you.
I wasn't sure. I said it's an old Yugoslavian joke. I wasn't sure if you'd stolen it from me or if it was just one of those things where it also exists. It's a good gag.
I got it straight from you. So it's an old Yugoslavian joke? How old are Stanley Cups in Yugoslavian culture?
Vacuum tumblers aren't that new.
Yeah. Like a thermos, I suppose. So what's the deal with Stanley Cups in terms of them being a trend?
So they've popped up, and Nikki informed me of this, because Mormon women on TikTok in Utah, I believe, which is the capital, the Mormon capital of the world, Salt Lake City, make all these posts about how they have their awesome water for the day, and it's all these like cutesy pastel colors. Because Stanley usually make camping equipment, right?
Yeah,
these are like someone identified that a lot of women were buying these, and like, oh, we should make a line that appeals to them, and they did.
Yeah.
And Mormons don't drink soda, right?
What? Did they not?
I didn't know this either, but apparently no, they don't.
Why do they not do that?
So, I don't know.
Okay, I gotta know this. This is not something I can just take on the chin here. Mormons soda. I don't really call it soda.
Here we go. I haven't Googled this. This is what Nikki said to me, so on her head be it.
Okay. There is no general church prescription against faithful members consuming caffeinated sodas. The word of wisdom forbids hot drinks, and that means you have to swear off coffee and tea.
But, weird.
Okay. But the Mormon Church has been putting pressure on Mormons to make them give up caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the word of wisdom isn't actually... This is a person on Reddit, so take that for what it is. It's not actually reserved for health reasons. The motivation for modern observance is to create in and out group dynamics so the rules don't... Yeah, that's huge in Mormonism. I know that. It's an obedience test. Yeah, it doesn't have to make rational sense. Okay, yeah. So it's not about... It's not actually about anything other than... keeping people in line, yeah. Which is an interesting thing I learned about Mormons. You know the whole missionary thing, right? That you have Mormons come and knock on your door.
Oh, I've heard. I think I know where you're going with this. Yeah, go ahead.
This apparently, again, I haven't verified this, but this is what I've heard, is not actually designed to convert people, really. Not the people who go on the missions think it is, but the actual plan for the Mormon high-ups, the King and Queen Mormon, is to go and have young Mormons have... non-believers be very rude to them, so they knock on your door.
It's not just
and you
that.
Tell,
that's why they get sent to faraway countries as well. And you come back and you're like, see, it is very different and scary out there. You should stay here with us.
See how awful people are. This is how non-believers treat you. Because someone knocks, you tell them a Mormon knocks on your door, you tell them to piss off, And they, you know, they take it on the chin, they walk away, they're always very polite. But the whole thing is, it's designed to make them think that the rest of the world, the godless heathens, the ones who, you know, it's not just that they're rude, they're uncivilized, they're not worthy. Which is, you know, the whole thing about Mormons being very in-group, out-group, isolating people, cutting off people's support networks the moment that they want to leave the church, all that sort of thing. So very, very scary organization, but go on.
So that was why it originally popped off, is that you drink these like flavored waters, you know, with like syrups and stuff in it or whatever.
I see.
Because you can't have a Diet Coke or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or a coffee. It's weird to have that be such a big part of it, be in like a vacuum sealed tumbler, like thermos, where you can't have anything hot in it. But anyway.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
They're like tapered at the bottom as well, so that they fit in the cup holder of your Mitsubishi Outlander, right?
And to make sure that they tip over nice and easily. Yeah.
It doesn't seem to tip over, in my experience.
Does it not?
So anyway,
I'm surprised. All right.
So I've always been a big fan of big water bottles, right? I love having the big 2-liter water bottle that, and I'm like, that's it. If I get through this thing for the day, we're cooking, you know?
Because when you pick up a small water bottle, it looks like a child's toy in your enormous hand.
That's also true. That doesn't help. The Stanley Cup, when I hold it, looks normal. When Nikki holds it, looks ridiculous. Because it is 1.8 liters, the one I bought.
Yes. I've seen you at like events where they've got those little like 150ml or 200ml,
even
just a regular
size,
Coke can in your hand. Like it's like... You look like Thanos, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I bought a couple of water bottles recently, and they've all broken. Like, I'll drop it getting out of the car to go to the gym, and it just explodes. And eventually I was like, some people in work had them as well, and I was like, all right, I'm going to bite the bullet.
The Mormons are onto something here.
Well, here's the thing. They're overpriced because there's a craze. They're like 45 euro, right?
Mm-hmm.
And does it have the materials? Is there a 30 euro version of it that is just as good? Almost certainly.
So right? Why did you get the Stanley? Because I've got a vacuum thing. I bought it for $12 from Kmart, and it had it's got like a nice little flower pattern on the outside that came at no extra charge.
Well, the one I had was before was like one of those, like it was like 12 euro or whatever, exactly. Yeah. And it wasn't good, and it got moldy and stuff. It just didn't, like it didn't, and it leaked a bit. I was like, well, look, this is definitely going to be the like high quality overpriced one.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope I can use it for a long time. And I don't mind, much like you with the Tesla, Riley, I don't mind leaning into the trend a little bit. You know, I'm okay with that.
I have not bought a Tesla. I will probably not buy a Tesla, although...
Probably,
maybe I will buy a Tesla. I don't know.
Well, once you do, the Stanley Cup will fit neatly into the cup holder.
I don't remember there being a cup holder on the Tesla. I remember putting my phone down on the little thing for the phone, and it started charging it automatically, which was crazy. Nikola Tesla's, the famous Serbian inventor, his dream made reality by the car named after him.
I think he'd be spinning in his grave, but that's by the by.
We're gonna let the Serbian thing slide, or yeah, I was gonna
I let it slide. I heard it and I let it slide.
Famously, it Croatia and Serbia both fight over Tesla as belonging to the other their contested side. Yeah.
So that's one TikTok trend. The other TikTok trend, Riley, is a follow-up to what we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. Remember when I spoke about having tonsil stones?
Oh, yes. Now I do, and unpleasantly so. Yes, you grew an extra tooth out the back of your mouth.
I purchased a water flosser.
A water flosser? Trend.
Yeah. It's a little motor. It's shaped a bit like a toothbrush. You fill the bottom with water, and then it just shoots water into your mouth. And
so
clean your teeth.
You bought a high pressure, like you bought a pressure washer for your mouth.
Yes, pretty much actually. And it was a recommended thing by a lot of people on the internet. They're like, oh, I have tonsil stones and this is great for it. And I was like, perfect.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, all right.
Tried it. For cleaning your teeth, great. Actually would honestly recommend, you know, good. A bit novel, you know. I don't know that it's meaningfully much better than just properly flossing. You could also obviously do both, but it's kind of cool. It's a gadgety version of flossing. I'm okay with that.
That's fine. I bought an electric toothbrush on a dentist's advice one time, and I've never looked back. Electric toothbrush, is great.
I tried to use it to like clean my tongue because this morning I woke up and I was like, oh, where are my tonsils down? I was like, well, I'll use the water flosser I bought.
Mm.
Don't do that.
So you were just deep throating at that stage.
Well, no, it doesn't go. This thing, you would be blown away at how strong these things are.
Sounds like it was a thing that was getting blown, but go on.
It would clean a driveway, let me tell you.
You're joking.
Riley, I turned it on the soft setting, and it blew a hole in the back of my throat, and I bled. So would not recommend.
No, you didn't bleed.
I did. I bled a good amount.
It lacerated the back of your throat.
Right before we started recording today.
You are kidding.
Yeah.
This sounds like it has industrial applications. What are you using to cut diamonds?
It's no joke. Are
you sure you didn't buy the thing you're supposed to use in your driveway? Are you sure you didn't get one of them? Is it very big, Dennis? Does it make a very loud noise? It's got hoses.
Well, I do have to pour gasoline into it to get it.
Yeah. I was going to say, what's this power source? It got a battery? 12 volt battery in it? What's going on?
Yeah, no, it is. And look, on the teeth, it feels fine.
Yes.
But I think it's also probably just your tonsils are very, very sensitive. That's actually just true.
Yeah.
But, and then first of all, you're kind of just waterboarding yourself in your bathroom. I don't know if I'd recommend that.
Okay.
I spit that, and it was just like a lot of blood, and I was like, "Oh no!" And I looked, and there's a little red circle in the back of my throat, and I was like, "Uh oh."
So this is almost medieval. You're bleeding yourself, like tonsil stones. Apply a poultice of goat shit and bleed the patient.
Some bloodletting has gone a long way.
Yeah.
The third trend, right, is one I originally wanted to talk about, and then I realized there was a theme, and I could tie in the Stanley Cup and the water flosser.
Okay.
So we talked about running a while ago.
Yes.
Have you seen this viral TikTok about a hack to get to vastly improve your running capabilities?
So I'll tell you that I haven't seen any TikToks because even though I'm on the app, can I tell you this? TikTok has no idea what I'm into. Every time I open it, it shows me something different. It's like animals? Like, no. Oh, okay. What about like motivational? No. No. Okay. Are you interested in like dance? No. Dance? No. Okay. Music? No. Nothing. Like I just don't ever look at or I just go straight to like
Surely Megan shows you Instagram reels.
Megan shows me TikTok videos of like cats doing cute things, which I enjoy. Mm. But no, apart from that, no, I'm very limited in my consumption of social media. And also so very smug about my limited consumption as well.
It appears so. So how high is the seat in the Tesla, actually? That's probably worth considering.
I'm trading my seat on my high horse for the...
How high is the electric horse?
The comfortable plush leather interior of the Tesla Model 3, available now, $38,990, drive away. This is the thing. Sorry, just I know we've sort of moved on from the Tesla thing. Let's just talk. Like, let's not forget, I have to come up with $40,000 to buy one of these things. That money's not coming. Like, where's that coming from? Patreon.com/halfasshistory. There you go.
Yes,
that's a new Patreon goal. You buy me a
Riley
Tesla.
Riley buys
please.
A Tesla.
Yeah, buy. It doesn't have anything to do with the podcast at all.
Patreon.com/have a listen to this. Get Riley his Tesla.
Buy Riley a Tesla. Well, and also Dennis as well. You'll have enough money. We split everything 50-50, so you'll have enough money for your Tesla as well.
I won't buy a Tesla. I'll donate it to Wildlife Fund.
To the Wokerati, to some bleeding heart, the civil liberties thing.
I'm a bleeding throat liberal, Riley. Thank you very much.
Yeah, not bleeding heart. You bleed all the way out of your throat. So I haven't seen the viral thing.
This dude in his car talking about a way to vastly improve your running.
And is it by getting in a car? Hang on. He's in a car. So is the thing like, and if you're having trouble getting somewhere fast enough, instead of running, just get in your car and drive there. Is that the hack?
I mean, that would work, but no. Yeah. The point is, and it seems to be relatively well substantiated, reading some Reddit posts about it and some people who have tried it, is that when running, there's two bottlenecks, right?
Mm.
There's your muscular endurance and your cardiovascular endurance, right?
Sure, yeah.
There
is also your mental and psychological endurance. Because
yes, that's true.
I get to a point where I'm just like, I could keep going, but I'm bored or like it hurts or whatever. And I know, because sometimes I never have that when I'm distracted enough. Usually when I've got a game of Civ on the go and I think about, planning my next turns or what I'm going to do, that sort of thing.
Yes.
I've got something to distract myself with. I can run 5Ks without even noticing. Whereas like if I'm annoyed or if I'm not able to let go and just relax, then after 3.5Ks, I'm like, this sucks. I want to go home. Yeah.
So generally speaking, people are more, especially if you're only getting into it, you're more limited by your cardiovascular, you're getting out of breath than you are by your legs being able to carry you any further.
For sure.
Especially if you're trying to run like a 5K, not like a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So the component that helps with that is something, and I'm just paraphrasing this TikTok trend to you now, something called VO2 max, which is just your ability of your body to push oxygen around how efficiently it does that, right?
All right.
The problem with that is any cardiovascular training trains that. That makes sense. But you get tired, and running is not a very good way to train specifically that. So He proposes a different exercise. You try for a couple of weeks and then go back to running, and you'll be able to run much farther than you were before and basically skip a part of your onboarding.
What is this activity? Okay, so it's got to be something that doesn't tire you out, but involves you getting out of breath a lot?
Yes. So it's, Ronnie, are you familiar with a kettlebell swing?
No, but I know what a kettlebell is, and I know what swinging is. So
yeah, you take a kettlebell, you squat, you basically like tuck the kettlebell between your legs, and then you
and another
swing,
guy comes in and takes your wife and what?
Ten hut, yeah, exactly.
Sorry, go.
You squat and you swing it up to about eye level, right?
Oh, sure, okay, yeah, yeah.
And you do, and so what you do are kettlebell swing ladders. So what you do is you do one kettlebell swing, and then you take a breath, and then you do two kettlebell swings, then you take two breaths, etc. Right?
Okay.
And you go all the way up to 20 and then all the way back down from 20.
Yeah.
So it's quite long, actually.
Yeah. Sounds awful. Sounds horrible.
It's about 420 reps by the end of it.
Yeah.
And then what you do is you start, after doing it a couple of times, you go, okay, I'm going to cap it at 10 breaths now. So even when I'm above 10 swings, I'm still only doing 10 breaths, right?
Oh, yeah. You put a difficulty modifier on it. All right.
Exactly. So the idea being that because your rest time is tied to your breath time, you're kind of incentivized to try breathe controlled and slowly through your nose rather than like gasping, right?
So does this work? Have you been doing it?
I've done it 5 times now.
Okay.
And it is the most tired and sore I have ever been from anything in my entire life.
Yeah. It sounds awful. Like, not awful in the sense, if it works fine, but it sounds like a penance.
So I did the first couple of times, normal ladders. And yesterday, for the first time, I successfully completed it from top to bottom with only capping at 10 breaths. And it was a lot easier suddenly. And today I'm much less sore.
Yeah. There are, like, I've not done this specifically, but I've noticed that, like, with running, it gets to a point where you just sort of pass a point where you essentially kind of feel like you can go forever. I'm sure you couldn't, right? But when I started running 10Ks, which I don't do anymore, but I was running 10Ks for a while because it wasn't the sort of thing I felt like I had to build up to. I just got to a point where it was like, oh, I can keep going. And then I got to 10, I was like, yeah, I think right now I feel like I could run forever, right? Which obviously isn't true. Obviously you'd conk out at some point, but it's not, the progress stops being linear. Well, I feel like I've lost Dennis again.
Yep. I heard you say, you can't get at some point, and you say it's, and then there was several seconds of silence, and then nice. I feel like I lost Dennis here.
Really good. Okay. Well, it's not on my end now. My internet's going really well, so I don't know what's happening here. Anyway, I just said it's not linear.
Right, and I think the goal of this exercise is to kind of just skip you to that point where it stops, and that sounds like what the guy talks about, is the idea that like you start running and you're like, well, it's actually, me running out of breath is not what's holding me back. But let me tell you, Riley, last week I did it 2 days in a row. Huge mistake.
The ladders or running?
The kettlebell swing ladders.
Yeah.
2 days in a row. And oh, I did them on Tuesday and Wednesday last week. And on Thursday, I just couldn't walk, dude.
Wow, is that bad, huh?
It was like I would touch any part of my legs or even my butt. And I was like, this is like painful to the touch.
Feels good though, doesn't it? That kind of soreness.
It does. So today I feel baseline sore, but like the other, like last week, dude, on like Thursday and Friday, I'd be like sitting on the in a chair and I'd look over like, oh, I'm thirsty. I'm like, I get a drink. And I look over towards the sink and I'd be like, I'll wait till I also need to go to the bathroom. You know,
yes.
I'm not getting out twice.
It's too far to just do one thing. I'll stack the tasks that I have.
Once you're walking, it's okay. Getting up, like we went somewhere in the car on over the weekend, and like getting out of the car, I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, you're like a newly born foal. Your legs are all like wobbly. Feel like they're gonna collapse from under.
Exactly.
You.
Yeah, going to the bathroom, getting on the toilet, oh baby.
Yeah, it's a gamble as to whether you're getting back up.
Yeah, each shit could be my last 100%.
I live here now. This is my home.
So, yeah, I mean, I sent me, Lauren, and Jeff, they both started running recently as well. We had a little chat, and I sent them a picture, and it was a picture of Don Draper, like, hunched over the end of his bed, like, looking depressed. And the caption says, I now understand why chickens wake up and scream. And I was like, I do understand. This is awful.
Okay. Oh boy. Well, it's good. It's good you're doing it though. How's that fitness coming along? You're getting huge, dude. You're getting huge. You're getting small. You're getting, lean and trim.
I'm getting lean. Mostly, I fought. Like the first time I did this thing, dude. Let me tell you, I just lay down on the floor of the gym, my back afterwards, and was like, "This is it. I've died. Here it is." Like, I'd recommend trying it. If you have a kettlebell, give it a shot.
Yeah. Well, Megan's got one. She got like a 6 kilo kettlebell, so a kettle thing.
I was doing it with that's quite light, to be fair. Like I was trying to be very, very conservative. I did it with like 10s and 12s, but I mean, honestly, the weight is not the important part, you know.
So what is it then? What's the important part? The reps.
Are you doing 420 of them? Is the important part?
Yeah. Oh well, maybe I'll try it. Maybe I'll try it if it's gonna, because I'm now trying to run faster. That's my bottleneck. Is that I can't.
You want to get on the leg press.
Increase my speed. And I don't know what you need for that, because cardio, I kind of feel like I can go forever with cardio. Again, obviously I know I can't, but I'm at that point where it's like, it doesn't feel like that. Doesn't feel like
that's
the
not the bottleneck.
No.
Then you gotta start doing some squats, dude.
Yeah.
Some deadlifts.
So is that what you need for speed when you're running? You need faster, you need stronger muscles in your leg to what push you further?
I would think it's still probably just cardio, because, I mean, you can't sprint forever, can you? Like,
yeah, no, that's cardio. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really take this technical, I never think about the technical thing of it. I just go, like even timing it is a recent thing that I've only done within the last
couple like years. I run like 2 5Ks on like treadmills. Yeah. And even then, I'm still like 40 minutes or something awful. And I'm like,
that's
you know what?
Great.
I don't care. It's
that's
about
really
the running,
good.
Dude.
Yeah, that's really good, man.
But now I'm firing. Now I'm kettlebell pilled.
Yeah, I've got my pilled and your kettlebell pilled.
Well, what's gonna happen is I'm gonna finish this thing. I'm gonna do it for 2 or 3 weeks, like it says, and then afterwards, I'm just gonna just run a marathon.
Yeah, just go straight to it, straight in the deep end. Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah.
No, you should try the kettlebell thing. I'm curious to hear your take on it. So give it a shot.
Well, I can tell you my take on it. I don't need to do it to tell you how I'm going to feel about it. I'm going to hate it.
Well, it'll be bad. You're going to hate it. Of course you're going to hate it.
I'm going to absolutely hate it. Yeah.
Funnily enough, when you're like out of breath and tired, the counting gets surprisingly difficult. You're like, did I just do 16 or did I just do 17? Hang on. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've been there. I've never really been much of a gym person, but the times that I did go to the gym, I found it really hard to just keep track of like reps and sets and that sort of thing. And that's, I don't know, that's why I was talking to a PT recently who was telling me about how he has a lot of clients that like part of it is like tricking them into enjoying exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll bargain with them. He'll be like, all right, okay, we'll skip this exercise you hate and we'll do this one instead. And then I'll let you do 12 extra whatevers, right? And he's like, the reward for doing this type of exercise is more exercise, but it works because there are certain exercises that people enjoy doing.
Exactly.
And I'm really lucky because I like running. But
I've started to like running, but you have to break through it because it's awful.
Yes, it hurts and it's awful and it sucks. But you get to a point where it's sort of like it reminds me of when I like spicy food. When I started liking spicy food, I taste it, I'm like, oh man, oh, I'm sweating and I'm like, this is terrible, but give me more, you know?
Well, like yesterday I went to the gym and I was like, oh, I don't know if I'll just go for like a little treadmill run or if I'll do the kettlebell thing. And I got on the treadmill and I ran for like 20 seconds. I was like, not feeling it today. I'm going to go do the kettlebell thing.
Not today. Yeah.
And that just happens. You're just not in the mindset. Like running, I was like, this feels weird. Not into it. And I was like, okay.
No, I never get that. I always enjoy going for a run. But this is the problem. If I say I'm going to do this kettlebell thing, I might do it once and then just like, I hate this. And then I'll tell myself I'll do it again and then like guilt myself into doing it, but hate it. But like, whereas natural motivation always gets me so much further that if like with the social media stuff, right? I was saying like I had to force myself to do that. I hated it and I don't want to go back and do it, but I will. But I don't want to. Whereas, I don't know, maybe I'll just be one of those crazy people who enjoys doing kettlebell swings. Who knows?
So here's the thing. While the program is to do it for like 2 or 3 weeks, I would like you to try it once just so that we can talk about it. I'm not going to expect you to do, you know what I mean?
Are we doing more update? We're doing more update episodes. You got a taste for it
well,
now.
I mean, it doesn't have to be in the podcast. I'm just curious about how you find it. Be careful because if you mess it up, you will hurt your lower back. Just be mindful.
Ooh, that's okay. I'll have to do it because my back is a bit funny sometimes.
Yeah, mine too. So just look up a YouTube video of a person doing it and be like, okay.
All right. Okay. Well,
it's not hard. It's not a hard exercise.
So, just to recap what we've talked about in this podcast today, we've talked about Elon Musk, we've talked about Teslas, we had a brief
crypto,
we talked about crypto for a little bit, and now we're talking about fitness, and we're talking about social media, And what was the middle thing? You had Stanley Cups and the other, what was the other one? Oh, yeah. No, the high-pressure washing of mouths doesn't really come into the cliche podcast thing.
But
so,
the one thing I want to get into before we get off on it, let's talk about sports betting real quick, okay? I just want to talk about
and how you
the
can
accumulators,
make
the parlays I've got coming up on the coming weekend.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Have a Listen to This. We do hope you've enjoyed the episode. And hey, if you haven't, doesn't matter. The download numbers show up all the same. So whatever, suckers. But if you did enjoy this show, please tell your friends about it. And look, tell people that aren't your friends. Tell acquaintances and even your enemies. Again, the downloads show up all the same. And if you want to support the show, if you really like the show this much, you can support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Have a Listen to This. You get access to behind-the-scenes stuff, early access to episodes, all sorts of things. We are definitely in this for the money, not for the love of the game or anything like that. So head over to Patreon and help us get them rookie numbers up.